minister, and you at Easter you always say the same things, and you talk about the same things. And one of the things that I was thinking about this morning, and I see this everywhere I go, is let's just read this first. Is I see a lot of broken people, and I'm around a lot of people that have stuff, and I'm around a lot of people that don't. And it doesn't seem to matter where or who, people without God just have something missing in their life. This is the bottom line. And there's something inside of people that only God can fill. And He cares about people. You know, we've went through a lot of things in our lives, like good things, a lot of bad things. And it's, if it wasn't for God, I don't know where, how people can do it without strength from putting faith in God, knowing that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just felt in my heart this morning, in John chapter 19, and verse 30. This is just talking about what Jesus went through, but and when Jesus said this in verse 30, He said, "And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, 'It is finished.' And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost." And you know that everybody knows that I think of my kids, and I couldn't imagine taking one of my children and preparing them for the cross. And I know it's like a storybook for a lot of people. It's just like everything else in life. But I've seen so much what God's done in our lives. I was thinking about last week here and God's heart towards people. You know, when I first started to preach, and you know, you're always trying to fix people's lives and tell people what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong and what they're... That's, and as I've read the Bible over the years, the one thing that God wants and that He cares about is one thing: people. And He wants people to know Jesus. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world would be saved." And you know, I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about when He said, "It's finished," everything was finished. Everything. Everything that you deal with today. Turn back with me here. I want to read to it in Isaiah. You just think about this. One of the things I see today that I haven't seen, I see more today than I've ever seen in my life, is people that are broken, sad. And when I go back into Isaiah 53, and it sort of takes on what Jesus did for us, and it also takes faith for us to receive everything that Jesus did. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 53, it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised." And this is what I see. I mean, I don't think, and I'm being honest when I say this, I don't believe that a Christian should have a bad day. to see what Jesus did for us. I mean, the Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Because you know, I talk to so many people. I'm around probably people that don't know God more than I'm around Christians. Because I'm out, you know, I'm working and I'm out at whatever we are doing in life. And the Bible says that we're to be a light in a dark place, right? I want to ask you this. When you go around and you're a light, do you go around telling everybody what they do wrong? Does that make you a light? No, what makes you a light? Something that's brighter. Because I can tell you this. When I grew up and I never really wanted anything to do with God, just because I knew I couldn't have fun and serve God. Because I just didn't think I could. And I didn't realize how much fun serving God really is, because life actually isn't fair. Life itself, a lot of times, is not fair. We all go through so many things in life that doesn't seem to be right. And how do you do it? Like things are up one day, then they're down the next, and somebody's up, and then somebody's down, and then you had a great day, and then the next day your kid's in the hospital, or one day your marriage is together, the next day it's gone, and you had no idea. What keeps people sane? It's only God. It's only God. What people don't realize is that Jesus paid the price. Now we got to receive it. But faith comes from hearing, and that's why we talk about this. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And people need to know this, that God loves them. I'm with people a lot, and one of the things I like to tell people, because they're not used to this coming from a Christian, is I'll say to them, because I know these people, and I'll say to them, God loves you just as much as He loves me. And they look at me like I got four heads, because they know that they're messed up, or they know that they've sinned according to whoever. But the Bible says whoever is born is a what? A sinner. And the Bible says if you're going to live by the law, and I say this all the time, because so many people put faith in their good works, and our good works will never get us to heaven. We as Christians need to have good works that the world may see God in us, but your good works will never get you there. Ever. The Bible says it's not by works lest any man should boast. There's not one person that could come before God and say, you know what? You know, I am it. Because I am not it. Not one of us. And that's why every single person in the world needs one thing, and that's Jesus. Because you know what? There are so many, and I feel this, that's why I'm talking like this today, is because in my heart, I feel that there's an emptiness inside somebody. And I'm not saying you're not even born again. I have no idea, because I've always lived my life and preaching, because I'm not that smart of an educated person. But I've always learned to listen to my heart, because God cares about people so much. And He loves people. And as I read the Gospels, you got to realize this, that Jesus paid the price. He took every little thing. Like, He was tempted because He knew you were going to be tempted. He took the stripes on His back so you could be healed. He went to hell so you didn't have to go to hell. Like, he was tempted mentally, like emotionally. He was left alone with nobody around. All His own friends alone, all left Him. And He did it so you didn't have to be alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says here, he said, surely, and I'm not even talking about the works of God today or the actions or the miracles or what Jesus did, but Jesus, God's heart towards people. And his heart for people was that he had to have somebody to pay the price that would take complete, that didn't deserve it. So anybody that calls on the name of the Lord can be what? There's not one person that will come to God and he would reject. Not one. No, not one. Not one. And the Bible says here, he was despised and rejected of men. You know why he was rejected? Because a lot of people today are rejected. You know, even in my own home, I have some kids that some of my children, they'll go into a place and there'll be 20 people around them. And then I have other children in my own family that they'll go into a place and they're by themselves the whole time. And they wonder why. But Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. See, you're never, ever alone. Never. He never gives up on you. Never. Doesn't matter how many times people fall down. He never gives up on you. I remember when I used to do the youth group. I was a terrible youth pastor. But I actually love kids. And I did the best I could. I didn't do a lot of the paperwork. And I mean, we took kids across borders without parents. They knew, I didn't get them to sign nothing. And it always seemed to get them all across. And I got them all home. Some ended up in jail when I was down there. And I went to jail and begged for, to please let them out. I've had a lot of fun but in my life with youth. But I used to take every week, we started out with, I think, like three kids. God spoke to me and he said, I want you to start a youth group. And I just think of my youth group alone over my life in ministry. How many times I wanted to quit and to give up. And I think today, I look back and I still see those kids today. Three of the kids I had in youth group that we used to pick up, three, were murdered and are in heaven today. Three of them that I picked up when they were 6 years old and we had them right till they were about 18, 19 years old. Three from Apsley. I remember I used to go down and I used to tell them, I didn't know what do you tell a bunch of kids that they come where their parents are don't know God, the parents are worse than the kids, they're come from broken homes, they're stealing, they're smoking, they're doing everything, and you're trying to get these kids. And so I would get these kids. And see, the reason I'm talking like this is because this is God's heart. It's not about me being a great preacher. When we're done this life, what matters is what you did with people. Because you're God's representative. And God wants to give you peace and happiness. That's why he did this. Do you think he was made sorrowful that you could be sorrowful? Do you think he took sickness so you would have to be sick? And sickness isn't just simply physical. It's mental. I've looked at some people and I've said, you've got everything. But they don't see that. Only God. Only God can fix people's lives. I thought I could help. I thought I could fix everybody's life in my life. When I first started in ministry, I give every penny we had away. Julie and I had nothing. I would drive people all over the United States trying to get them fixed. I took kids in my home. They stole everything I had. I did everything I could. I remember, honestly, the last kid that moved in with us, or the second last? Third last? I mean, when he left, he stole every electronic that was in our house, which wasn't a lot, because we didn't have a lot. But everything that was in our house, he stole. He stole my car. He stole all the gas cans that I had. Doesn't mean nothing to most people, but gas cans are $20. And when he stole all your money, all my cash I saved, and we didn't have a lot back then. And I saved for, what, a year, Julie? So we could go on a holiday, and you know what kind of a holiday we would have. It was only $800, right? He stole that. But we could go outside of Apsley and camp. It wasn't like $50,000 or anything. It was only $800, and he took that. And this is where... And he phones me, this is how many years ago? 8? 10? 12? He phoned me 2 weeks ago. He didn't phone me, he Facebooked me. And he said to me, "I'm really sorry, John, for what I did." And I'm like, "Yeah?" What's he doing? What I want to ask you, what is he doing? He grew up, his mom was a prostitute. He was my friend. His dad was murdered. His dad was my friend. We grew up together. His dad was murdered. I tried to help this boy. He grew up with his mom in Oshawa, downtown. And I don't know if you've ever been to downtown Oshawa. It's just rough. Remember, I used to go down there on weekends and I'd drive downtown streets looking for him when he was like 14 years old. So after he did all this to me, he says to me, "You're the only one in my whole life that's never gave up on me." And I'm thinking, "You don't know me." I was so upset with that boy. He lived with me a year. My wife, I'll just tell you a little story, how smooth this guy was. My wife would, I was gone, that's when I traveled a lot and preached, and so I was gone a lot. And so my wife would say, "There's something wrong with the car, John. Because every time I fill it up, in the morning time, it's empty." And so I go underneath it and jack it up and look, and it's just as dry as a bone. This is how naive my wife was. He taught her, actually, not to be naive. He did, didn't he? "Oh, I would never do drugs in your house." "Oh, okay." Meanwhile, there's like bongs and needles and... "Well, that's not because I'm diabetic." Well, he wasn't diabetic. Anyways. She learned anyways. And so he would wait till Julia went to sleep, take all the electronics he could get in the car, drive to Oshawa, pawn shop them at a buddy of his, and then drive home and be in bed before Julie got up. And he did that weekly, right? Because she says to me, "It's only once in a while, it's just empty." And I found all the pawn shop things, receipts, in his car. So now, I'm asking you now. This guy's now got to be 35. He calls me 2 weeks ago and says, John, you're the only one that ever cared about me. Do you think God still loves me? Will you help me? Well, he's not moving in with me, but I'll still help him. My wife begged me. She said, please don't take any more boys in. Please, John. Do you know who cried the most? John Jr.? Because Johnny couldn't believe that he was like a big brother to him. He lived with us a year. And he stole from us every day. And I'd sit him down and talk to him. I knew what he was doing, but I wasn't there all the time. Does God still love him, is what I'm asking you. That's what I'm asking you. You know, some of us, we're not thieves, but we blow it and we miss it. And maybe we've been mad at God. Maybe we're upset and are sad and we don't like our life. And maybe we blame God. And maybe you've spoken out of your mouth and said things about God. I just want to tell you this. This is what God told me this morning. He still loves you just as much as he always did. And he wants you to come back. He's been longing for you. He didn't want to take this on his body. For nothing. He did it so you could come freely to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. It doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in or what you've done or how you've allowed your heart to get hard towards God and people. He loves you. God spoke to me this morning, this. He said, I want people to know how much I love them and how much he needs you. You know, I was thinking about my own life because I've been a Christian longer than I've been not a Christian now. Like, I don't believe I'm 48, but I've been preaching for 28 years now. And my heart's still the same because I've allowed my heart to keep being pliable. Because sometimes we allow our heart to get hard. But out of our heart flows the issues of our whole life. And that's why God said to guard your heart. Because out of your heart will flow the issues of your life. And I'm asking people to allow God to soften your heart once again. Because we've all had disappointments. Julie and I have had tons of them in our life. Like just in this last 2 years, I don't talk about this in our lives, but we almost lost our little girl 2 weeks ago. She was in a coma for 4 days. I could say, God, I preached for 28 years and look at you. No, God is the only one that can give people strength and peace in the middle of life. My other little girl, she's been in and out of sick kids. She's not little. She's 16. 15. She looks like she's 16. Or 18. She's been in and out of sick kids with different stuff going on. But God's still the same. yesterday, today, and forever. God loves people. Never give up on God, ever. Because He's the only one that can give you peace. Ever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think that, you know, if I could become this, or if I could get this car. Like, I used to think like that. I didn't even really think like that. I just thought like that. Like, I didn't know I was thinking like that. But I thought, if I could get this car, because there's something missing in my life. There's some unrest. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's unrest. Something in my life that's not satisfied. And we just think, well, if I got that girl over there, like when I was young, if I got that girl over there, you know, my life would be great. And then you'd get her, and she was beautiful, and but you were still unsatisfied. And then you think, if I get that car, and then I get that, and I get that, then I'll be satisfied. But see, but only God. There's like only you. Do you know like do you know them little things when you're 2 years old? And there's a, like a square and a triangle and a little cross. And they'll only fit in one little hole in that little circle. Like babies to learn how to put a triangle in a triangle hole and a circle in a circle hole and a square in a square hole. Well, there's only Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can fill that little hole in your life to give you peace. The only one. That's how come you see people that say, you know, if I become this, and then they're killing themselves. Because this did not satisfy. This did not fulfill. It is not wrong to be, you know, a star at this or a star at that or a rock star here or this or own a company or whatever. But that alone is wonderful in life, but that will never fill the void in your life. Only God will. And somebody, Jesus said this in the Old Testament. He said, I look to and fro throughout the earth looking for somebody that will stand in the gap on behalf of my nation, on behalf of the world, on behalf of the people. And somebody has got to stand up and be a light in a community, in a job, in where they go. Somebody. Somebody has to. I think one of the biggest lights in my, one of the people in my life that has given me the most encouragement by looking at his life is my Uncle Sanford. Even to this day, he's the same as he was back 35 years ago. All the things he does for people. I asked my uncle one day, I said, why do you plow? Because my auntie was going to the hospital and he was taking her to Kingston and he said, I'm going to be gone for a month. Would you plow my driveways? And I said, no problem. So I plowed his driveways and I said, who do you plow? He said, everybody on my road. And I said, well, what do you charge them? He said, I don't. I've done them for years. And I said, well, why would you do that? Because some of these people aren't very nice people. No, like they're good people, but some aren't very, like when you're getting a free driveway, you don't tell them how to do it. Is what I'm saying. Like, I had one guy come out and say, Uncle Sanford did it like this. And I'm thinking, hey, buddy, you just be want to be thankful you're getting this for free. Like, that's me. That's my. Like, don't be telling me what I should be. Anyways, that's me. See, I got a long ways to go, eh? And you know what my uncle said? I said, why would you do that, uncle? He said, because I want to be a light to them because I want them in heaven someday. And this is what I can do to be a light. His whole life has been so he could be a light to the people around him. It's really important. And if you're hurting, it's hard to be a light. And God wants to fix. Now, let me just read you a couple. Let's turn to John 21. I know this is a really different. You know how Jesus' disciples, you know how they sort of denied him, and Peter denied him, and they all sort of took off when it really came down to it because they didn't want to be on that cross with him. And I find this one of the most amazing scriptures in the whole Bible. I mean, every one I find amazing, and every one becomes my favorite when I'm preaching it. But I find this so amazing, God's heart. And that's why I'm a person of forgiveness, because I know what I've been forgiven, right? Because I know me. And in John 21, in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. Well, let me read verse 14 so you understand. It said, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So this is the very last thing that Jesus said. Now, I know I've said this here before, but this is the very last thing that Jesus said to Peter after he was raised from the dead, and the very last time he showed himself, this is what he said to Peter. See, I would have said to Peter, Peter, I told you were going to deny me. Why did you deny me? And swear. You swore, Peter. You cursed. That's not what I taught you. Here's Jesus now, because Jesus will use anybody. And that's why God needs you. He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he says unto him, feed my lambs. And he says unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said, feed my sheep. He says it the third time, feed my sheep. Do you know he never said one thing about him being a failure? What was he concerned about? People hearing about Jesus. I love it on the cross. Do we do baptisms here? Yes. We believe in baptism. We had a baptism here 2 weeks ago. It was exciting. It's awesome. But I've had Christians come up to me, like new believers come up to me and tell them that somebody give them a book and tell them that if they're not baptized, they're not going to heaven. And I'm thinking, baptism is a part of salvation. It's a public witness of what you've done on the inside. Now you're showing the world that I'm going to be standing up for God. And this is just religion, just garbage. It's not, you need to be baptized. It's good to be baptized. But I said, well, what about that guy? Like what I'm saying, there's a lot of Christians that just, they go around telling people what they can and cannot do instead of telling them what God can do. They make so many rules and so many laws, and the Bible says if you're going to live by the law or the rules of the Ten Commandments, which I believe in, and they all hang on love and love God and love your neighbor, right? And so I don't disagree with that. But if you think you can live by the rules, the Bible says if you break, in James it says, if you think you're going to live by the commandments and you're going to live this way, well, if you break one, you broke them all. So if you're a liar, now you're adulterous. Or a thief. Because nobody could get to heaven without Jesus. That's why the world needs him. And I said, well, what about this? This is another one of my favorite. I love this so much. Because Jesus was on the cross and there was two thieves with him. And the one thief started to mock him. And the other thief said, we deserve this, Jesus. I was wrong. I did this. But Lord, you don't deserve this. But he said this one thing. He said, but Lord, when you come into your kingdom, will you remember me? And Jesus said to him, today, you'll be in paradise with me. See, you can call out to God anytime. And that's what I used to tell my youth group. I would stop for 5 minutes on the road because I said, God, how can I touch these people? How can I help them? And I would just say this one thing. I didn't preach to them. I didn't read the Bible to them. I told them scriptures and stuff. But I just said, listen, guys. In life, it's really hard without God. But this one thing I know, that when you come up against it, and you're having a hard time in your life, and you cry out to God, God will save you, and He'll help you. And you know, we've led probably, April figured it out, but it was a quite a few hundred kids in a 10-year period that give their heart to the Lord here. Because of what we did then, Josh and April and all of us back then, and they're still carrying it on today, doing the same thing. And I've had kids that are 35 years old phone me in the last 10 years now and say the very same thing. You think God would still love me? You know, I've been in jail for 8 years. I just got up. I've had so much time to think. You think I can have a second chance? Well, I know God can give you a second chance. I've had people that have got 3 little kids phone me and said, we're broke. What do I do now? Can God help me? Well, I know God can help you because that's why He took it and did it for you. He was broken that you don't have to be broken. He was poor that you don't have to be poor. Poor in spirit, physically, emotionally. God wants to restore your relationship with Him. And all it takes is saying, God, I don't know if you've given your heart to the Lord. But if you've never said yes to Jesus, that's the most important thing that you will ever do. Because that's the beginning of the greatest life that you'll ever have. The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. If you've served God, I haven't done this in 20 years. I don't do this. I'm not asking anybody to come to the front today. But I am asking you this. If you're that person with that broken heart, or that heart that's been hard, the Lord woke me up this morning and told me He wanted to heal that broken heart because He wants to have a relationship with you. You just say to God yourself, by yourself, Lord, I want that again. I'm not going to go on and on and on today. But God wants to come and have a relationship with you. If you've maybe not been, you've been a Christian, but if you're not where you should be or could be, this is the day just get things right with God. Because He didn't do this in vain. He did this so you could have the greatest life ever. I'm just going to pray. Everybody got to talk to God on their own. I don't guilt people. I don't condemn people. I don't try to make people pressure people. God loves you so much. And He wants to make Himself real to you. Father, Lord, I know You love people so much. And that's why all through the Bible, even the two blind men, they were yelling at You, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the crowd, the Christians with them said, shut up. But Jesus stopped and He said, what is it? And that's what God's saying today. What is it that I can do for you? And you just got to say something back to Him. Lord, I want to have a relationship with You. Lord, I need healing. Lord, my kids. Lord, you know, our relationship. God, I don't know what that is. But He's saying that same thing to do. What is it that I can do for You? Because Jesus already paid for it. And when He said it is finished, it was finished. And it's available for you today. So Father, we receive this. Everything that You did for us. We thank You for the cross. But not the cross only. We thank You that You arose triumphant. Above all the problems of the world. Over the power of the enemy. And You gave the victory to the church. But we got to take a hold of that victory. We got to use faith to lay hold on it. Lord, we put our faith today in You. If you haven't said nothing, you just talk to God on your own. Just say, God, I need You. God, I want You again. He never left you. I'm saying this. He's never left you. But sometimes we have allowed our heart to get hard. That we don't allow Him to affect our lives either. Lord, I'm allowing You to affect my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to ask whoever's going to be taking communion. We're going to do communion today because Jesus said when we come together to do this, remembrance of what He did for us. And we're going to sing a song. If you want to sing, you sing. If you don't, you don't. But whatever you do, don't leave this building before you get your life right with God. Thank you very much.